Amen. Let's go to John 3. And I'm going to share verses 16 and 17, but I'm going to share them out of the Message Bible. So you can follow me in your translation. If you want to read along out loud, you can, but I'm going to share it in the Message Bible. So it may be better if you just listen to this again so it won't be confusion. This is how much God loved the world. He gave his son, his one and only son. And this is why, so that no one need be destroyed. By believing in him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life. God didn't go into all the trouble of sending his son merely to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was. He came to help, to put the world right again. See, folks, that's as the church, one of the things we have to keep in the forefront of our mind is our purpose is to put the world right again. We're the gardeners. We have to dress it and keep it. And the world is expecting us to do that. But there's some things that get in the way. And when I say get in the way, I mean it prevents us. I don't like the word prevents us. We use it as a reason for not doing what God has told us to do. And Jesus addressed it. You have my shovel? He almost forgot. Told you, until he tells me not, I'm going to have half shovel, we'll minister. Okay. But in Luke 6, I believe it's the NIV translation, Jesus gave us the true reason as to why we're going through so much unnecessary stuff and why we're not being effective as believers. He said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" That's the reason. We call him Lord, and then our Lord tells us what to do, and we give reasons as to why we can't do it. And he's saying, "Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on rock." He could have dug as long as he wanted to, but he chose to keep digging until he got to solid foundation. And that's the attitude we have to have individually. We have to be willing to dig as deep as necessary to clear out all the muck and the stuff and the nonsense and get to our foundation. If we don't do that, there'll be a cushioning, if you will, a blockage, if you will, between us and our foundation. See, when he talks about the man that built the house on the sand was between the man and his foundation. He didn't take the time to dig the sand out of the way so he could build on a solid foundation. Well, a gentleman that did, a storm came, a flood hit the house, didn't even shake it. Didn't even feel the impact of the hit. You know, that's like a boxer in a ring and his opponent comes and hits him with a solid roundhouse right, smiles at him and keeps coming forward. The house didn't even shake. But the one that did not take the time to dig away everything between him and his foundation and just built the house on the sand, same storm came, same flood came. That house wasn't shaken either. It just collapsed. It just collapsed. And the Bible says its destruction was complete. We don't want you to be completely destroyed. We don't want you to collapse, and we don't even want you to be shaken. But to do that, we are going to have to get our own spiritual shovels and dig through whatever it is that's between us and our foundation. And in these series, we've been highlighting different things that get in the way. And we're going to talk about another one today. I need you to go with me to Mark 4. I'll give you the title in a minute. Mark 4, this is the parable of the sower, verses 18 and 19. This is I'm going to share them out of the Message Bible, not of the Amplified Bible. The Message Bible says, the seed cast in the weeds represents the ones who hear the kingdom news but are overwhelmed with worries about all the things they have to do and all the things they want to get. Look what happens. The stress strangles what they heard and nothing comes of it. No, can you imagine? You hear the word and nothing comes of it. The Amplified Bible says, and others are the ones on whom seed was sown among the thorns. These are the ones who have heard the word. Say, they heard the word. But the worries and cares of the world, the distractions of this age and its worldly pleasures, and the deceitfulness and the false security or glamour of wealth or fame, and the passionate desires for all other things creep in and choke out the word, and it becomes unfruitful. See, if you know that, I'm amazed because this term choke out was there before there were ever any MMA fights. And I don't watch MMA fights. One of my sons took training, so I looked into it to see just what it was he was doing. And I mean, it's like boxing with no rules. I mean, you can kick, you can knee, you can elbow. I mean, or you can choke someone out, literally. You choke them, and if they're big ego-driven person, they'd rather pass out than give up. But when you choke out, you put them in a chokehold, and the guy goes and just gives up. Well, that's what happens when we allow these other things to creep in. It chokes out the word and it becomes unfruitful. Now, notice this. The scripture does not say that those things sneak in. It says they creep in. And there is a difference. There is a difference. This message title is called Creepy Things. Creeping things, okay? See, let's go to Hebrews 1. Because when I realize this is one of the rare times where God has me teaching basically from the same notes he gave me for last Wednesday. But if you were here last Wednesday, you'll notice he's changed some things, okay? Hebrews 1. Verse 3 in the Amplified Bible says, the sun is the radiance and only expression of the glory of our awesome God, reflecting Shekinah glory, the light being, the brilliant light of the divine, and the exact representation and perfect imprint of his Father's essence and upholding, listen to this, and upholding and maintaining and propelling all things, the entire physical and spiritual universe by his powerful word. All things upheld, kept in motion by God's powerful word, carrying the universe along to its predetermined goal. So that means the entire universe lives and moves and has its being by God's word. The entire universe gets to the destination that God has predetermined by God's word. Yet Jesus said that the stuff we let creep in chokes out that word. How can that do that? As powerful as the word of God is, and it is powerful, how can it be choked out? Well, see, when you sneak in, nobody knows you're there. I'm not going to ask how many of you snuck into movies when you were young. Okay. I snuck out of the house. I was supposed to stay home. I snuck out. Mommy never found out. You know. See, so when you, these things, these desires, they don't come in unnoticed. They don't come in under your radar. You know they're coming in. They're not sneaking in. They are creeping in. They're coming in gradually. They're coming in. They don't come in like a bull in a china shop. They kind of ease their way in, so you don't really see them as threatening. You see them as something to be enjoyed. Or we see them as logic. Whatever the reason, we allow them to come in. We allow it. Now, you may not want to hear this, but they don't show you their true intention when they come in. They come in pretending to be something else. And what they really want to do is infringe upon or supplant something else. See, they want to get in so they can take the place of something that's already in place. You have the word of God already in place. And you allow these other things to creep in because they promise to please. They tell you it's okay to feel what you're feeling or do what you're doing. Say, this is okay, this makes sense. But really what they want to do is take the place of the word in your heart. And when they do that, or when we allow that to happen, we start feeling different things, different emotions. See, they're logical. They'll tell you, look, everybody knows that there's X amount of dollars you should have in reserve. So when something happens, you know, you'll be okay. But mind you, God said that he would supply for our every need. But we have to make sure, and I'm not saying this, please understand me. I'm not saying don't be wise managing finances. But what happens is, someone will come along, or you'll hear something or read something, and you'll take that. You won't ask God what you should do. You'll say, I don't have that much money. And then your stomach starts. You're feeling fine. Now your stomach's knotting up. You start thinking, I'm going to be 60 in 5 years. And this thing said by 60, I should have this much over here and this much over there and all these things, and you had a full head of hair, and now everything starts falling out and changing colors. You're wondering, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? You were doing fine, but you let something change the way you were thinking, and now you, instead of going to the Word, instead of going to God and asking Him what to do, you start studying financial newspapers and articles and things and trying to find out, what can I do? Oh my God, I can't retire. You know, what? You allowed something to come creeping in. You saw it, you said, hey, yeah, come on. This sounds good. This sounds logical. This makes sense. See, it didn't tell you, look, I don't really care whether or not you have enough to retire or not. I just want to drive you nutty and make you fall away from your faith. That's all I want to do. So it'll come in and plant this thing, and we're like Job. Then that thing which we greatly feared now comes upon us. Whereas if we would have just stuck with what God said, we wouldn't have even had to deal with it. Wouldn't have thought about it. Would have continued being happily and prosperous. You know, you go along, you say, why are you still using an iPhone 4? Come on, man. It only has a 5-megapixel camera. The 6S has a 12-megapixel camera. It has 3D touch. Did you know that? It has 3D touch. I would know 3D touch from 2D touch. But it has 3D touch. It's got one of the most powerful chips ever developed for smartphones. And you walking around with an iPhone 4 when you can have a 6S? All of a sudden, now when you make a phone call, you sneak and do it because you're embarrassed to let anyone see you, and you only, you now you don't have a 4, you only have a 4. That 4 works fine, does everything you needed to do. You were very happy with those pictures it took. Very happy, but now someone said, no, you have to have a 6S. And what you don't have is $649. And so you start sweating. You start fretting. How am I going to get this? And you go into debt because I gotta have it. What I have works fine. Not broken. I mean, we're talking about a phone. Okay. And don't get me wrong. Hey, I have a smartphone. Do I upgrade it every time it comes? No, I upgrade it when it dies and doesn't work anymore. Okay. And I need to know, can I make a call? Can I send a text? Yeah. Okay, that's fine. The take pictures, it's good to be able to take a picture. I don't have to carry a camera with me. So I like that. But because this one has, you see, here's what's going to happen. In a couple of years, 12.5 megapixels is not going to be enough. Okay. Somebody's going to make one that has 20 next year. Look, those of you, I'm not picking on Apple, I'm just using it as an example. But see, the most important thing about your iPhone 4, you forget. It's paid for. It's paid for. But it's not just phones. We do the same thing with cars, clothes, everything. Everything. You know, one thing, the style is everything's down below your knee. Then now it's above your knee. You got to buy a new wardrobe. Well, if you have to give into that, why buy a new wardrobe? Go to a seamstress and let them just take it up. Okay? This way, when the style comes back again, you take out the things and there you go. Okay? But we'll walk around fretting about all these things that we cannot get to, and it comes in and chokes out the word. And you become fruitless. And then you become a basket case. And you lie. You start blaming the devil. You do. And all he did All he did, go knock on their door. And that's what they did. Yes, creeping thing. Okay, come on in. Okay. And I'm not going to leave out passionate desires. Because after all, you're only human. Everybody knows you're going to experience these things. These feelings are normal. It's okay. No, it's not. Because what happens, it comes in, and then you start looking to experience those same feelings. And you start looking for that quote-unquote fulfillment because you've watched it on these television programs. And you're saying, I want someone to make me feel like that. Got awfully quiet in here. Okay. And the next thing you know, you've changed your testimony. Why? Because the devil made you do something? No. He sent it to your door, and you looked at it, and you're like, man, I had never seen anyone with a shape like that. My goodness, my heart skipped 4 times. And he said, child, he's got green eyes. And oh, he's got this cute tattoo on his shoulder. That's great. Green eyes and a tattoo do not a relationship make. And we will tolerate things because we want the attention. Someone thinks I'm good looking. Someone acts like they want me. Yeah, I may, what they're doing, it may be a little inappropriate, right? But they like me. No, they love me. You've all heard the story when Vicky told me about the young man that's now her husband. Well, I think it's 14 years. Wow, time. And she said to me, she said, oh, no, Dad, you'd like him. He's really nice. I said, Angel, Jeffrey Dahmer was nice. Okay. She's like, he's not Jeffrey Dahmer. I said, I don't know that, and neither do you. Jeffrey Dahmer didn't tell those young boys, I'm going to take you out to dinner, and you're going to be dinner. No, he a very nice guy. Butter wouldn't melt in his mouth. Why? Because the creepy thing is not going to come and tell you its true purpose. The creeping thing is going to come in acting like it's the answer to all your concerns. And then you invite him in. And once he comes in, he supplants the word of God in your heart. Supplant it. And it's not even a hostile takeover. That's the part that I find amazing. It's not a hostile takeover. We allow it to happen because we want it to. Look at Matthew 6. I don't know about you, but I found out that Jesus made a lot of sense. See, the devil understands this principle, and this is how he operates. Verse 24, Amplified Bible, Jesus said, no one, that's important to understand, because too many times we'll think, well, yeah, I know that happened, but that's not going to happen with me. No, Jesus said, no one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, money, possessions, fame, status, or whatever is valued more than the Lord. And God told him to give you this. He said, simply stated, you cannot serve God and whatever you place above his word. You will yield yourself to whatever has full reign in you. You will yield yourself to whatever it is that you have allowed to have full reign. And we know what those things are. We need to get our shovel and dig them out and get back to our foundation, get back to the solid rock. See, when the word is choked out and becomes fruitless, what do you think happens to you? Because now the word that was in you is out of you. It's been replaced by things that you've allowed to creep in. So now instead of the word, you have worries. Instead of the word, you have cares. Instead of the word, you have distractions. Instead of the word, you have this craving for worldly things. Instead of the word. And it's just another form of a trial, persecution, tribulation. It's just packaged differently, and it comes to challenge your faith as a believer. That's why it comes. And I'm going to present to you another name for it. Pressure. It's pressure. Listen to this. Pressure is defined as an oppressive condition of physical, mental, social, or economic distress. Pressure. A force designed to influence or persuade by overpowering. It's pressure. It's a continuous harassment. It just, you ever turn, it seemed like no matter which way you turn, something's smacking you in the head. And you start wondering, when is this ever going to stop? God, I thought I was your child. I thought you said that you would provide. I thought you said with his stripes I'm healed. Yet, but every time I take my sugar level, it's in high 300s, 400. Every time I take my blood pressure, it's in a ridiculous number, but I thought your word says. A continuous stream of stuff. Hoping that you invite it in. That's why it does it. It keeps coming so much. You become so accustomed to feeling it that, well, why don't you, like Pastor Clinton said, what we do, you come in and sit down and have a cup of coffee. Let's talk this thing over. No, don't have a cup of coffee with it. If anything, it's okay to throw the coffee in his face, tell him, get out of your house. But we sit down, no, we fellowship with the enemy, with what the enemy sends. And we become overwhelmed. And see, we need to understand something. Devil doesn't play fair. He doesn't. There are no rules that he'll follow. Matter of fact, he loves to see the rules because he just wants to get you to the point where you break them. So he will send them, and then he'll turn up the heat. And now you don't just have pressure. You find yourself in a pressure cooker. That's what you do. And you know what a pressure cooker is. You take certain meats, Deacon Phyllis took some frozen beef chunks that she had already seasoned, because that's what she does. It's good to have someone home that's that's transitioned. And she seasons it and then puts it in the freezer. And then she'll come home, she'll throw them in the pressure cooker, vegetables, the liquids, locks that lid in place. 15 minutes, beef stew. Take the fork and the meat just falls apart. I'm like, that's what I'm talking about. See, because the pressure cooker, it's designed to not only cook things faster, but that the moist steam gets so hot, it tenderizes to the point where meat falls off the bone. And the enemy will throw us into this pressure cooker and turn up the heat because he wants our faith to become tenderized so that we just fall away from it. Actually, probably better stated that he wants us to become tenderized so that we fall away from our faith. We fall away from it. Because we allowed this stuff to creep in and didn't stop it. Didn't stop it. How many of you allow insects and stuff to just creep into your home and don't do anything about it? I'm not going to look up in case somebody raised their hand. Okay. All right. But see, the food, it gets soft. Sometimes almost mushy. But it just, I mean, you have clean bones at the end. Because the meat has been so tenderized by the pressure combined with the heat. But that's the cooking version of pressure cooker. Here's another definition. Listen to this. A situation or an atmosphere of difficulty, stress, or anxiety. Pressure cooker. Tell me if you can identify with this. Any situation, job assignment, etc., in which a person is faced with urgent responsibilities or demands by other people, constant deadlines, or a hectic work schedule. Mm-hmm. Pressure cooker. When I was ordained, I put myself in a pressure cooker. God didn't ask me to do it. Pastor Sarah certainly didn't ask me to do it. But me wanting to be a quote-unquote good pastor took on doing things that did not have to be done at that time. And I missed plays and football games and, you know, Grandparents' Day because I wanted to be a good pastor. Well, as a good pastor, you say, all right, God, you know, these are the things that I'm responsible for this week. What do you want me to do? God, I'd like to go to Grandparents' Day. I have these things. How do I reorganize? And when I started doing that, the pressure release valve popped open. And the pressure left. And the heat subsided. And now I go to plays. I go to football games. I go to Grandparents' Day. And our grandchildren love coming to church. Because church doesn't take their grandparent away from them. Amen. Or church doesn't take their parents away from them. Here's another definition. Listen to this one. A situation or environment that is loaded with emotional or social pressures. And young people, that's the one that you guys go through the most. It's loaded with emotional and social pressures to conform to this world. They'll make fun of you because you go to church. And you get to the point where you don't want them to know. You don't want them to find out. Let them find out. It'll be good for them. See, the cares and anxieties of this world and the distractions of the age and the pleasures and delight and false glamour and deceitfulness of riches, The craving and passionate desire for other things creep in. They cause an oppressive condition. They're oppressive. How many of you love to be oppressed? So the question is, why are we allowing these things to creep in? We know they exist. The Holy Ghost will guide us into all truth. Let me rephrase that. The Holy Ghost guides us into all truth. The Holy Ghost shows us things to come. So if we have allowed these things to creep in, we have turned a deaf ear to the prompting of the Holy Ghost. Because he's going to let you know, don't let this thing in your house. And I'm not necessarily talking about your physical house, I'm talking about your temple. So don't think on those things. Don't read that article. Don't watch that program. Don't spend time with those people. The Holy Ghost will do that. We have to get to the place where we stop ignoring him because we want to do it. There's nothing wrong with you. The Bible says you are accepted in the beloved. You have a church family that accepts you, and we're getting better at accepting you just the way you are. I'm not saying that to be funny. That's just a statement of truth. We can accept you even though you're not perfect because we're not perfect. We can accept you because we love you. But see, the devil's hope is that by putting you in the pressure cooker, you'll start to think, maybe God can't supply all my need. Maybe that's not what the word meant, something else. When it says, with the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. Maybe, you know, that wasn't an exact phrase. Maybe it was something symbolic. Maybe I can't do all things through Christ. After all, in the name of Jesus, I can fly. Well, I'm still on the ground. Okay. I mean, we'll come up with that kind of logic because we've allowed stuff to creep in and choke out the word. Now think about it. Were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego thrown into a pressure cooker? How come they weren't tenderized? You think about that. They didn't fall away. Their attitude was, throw me in. My God will deliver us. Amen. We will not bow down to your image, O King. Simple. Jesus was thrown into a pressure cooker. He said, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He was in agony. He said, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful even unto death. Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me. If not, your will, not my will. And nothing happened. He could say, well, I tried. No, he didn't stop until he had the strength he needed to go through with what God said. And if he can be that tough, so can we. He wanted to be obedient to God. And he wanted that more than life itself, and that's the same attitude we have to have. See, we've already been given everything we need to go through the pressure cooker. Already. Look at 1 Corinthians 10. Again, I'm in the Amplified Bible. says, no temptation, verse 13, 1 Corinthians 10, starting at verse 13, I'm in the Amplified Bible. No temptation, regardless of its source, has overtaken or enticed you that is not common to human experience, nor is any temptation unusual or beyond human resistance. You're never going to encounter anything that you can't resist. But God is faithful to his word. He is compassionate and trustworthy, and he will not let you be tempted above your ability to resist. You know what that means? If you're going through it, you can handle it. That's what it means. If there's something facing you, you can deal with it. I put a tail on the end of that. If you want to. Because that Bible says that first there must be a willing heart. But along with the temptation, he has in the past and is now and will always provide the way out as well, so that you will be able to endure it without yielding and will overcome temptation with joy. So if you're going through it, God has already given you what you need to endure it without yielding to it. Without yielding to it. It can sit right next to you, won't affect you in the least. And we get excited about that, but we forget verse 14. Therefore, my beloved, run. Keep far, far away from any sort of idolatry. And that includes loving anything more than God or participating in anything that leads to sin and enslaves the soul. See, so he's saying stuff is going to come. You make a choice not to be a part of it. Flee from worshiping anything or anyone other than God, including your life, is in another translation. If you don't flee, this is what God told me to tell you. If you don't flee idolatry, you will not be able to escape and bear the pressure because your devotion will be divided. Your devotion will be divided. Okay, so what do we do about all of this? I got to take a few minutes before I close to tell you this. When faced with the pressure cooker, you have to remember death and life is in the power of the tongue. Adam didn't say anything, and he got tenderized and fell away. I already told you, Jesus said, it is written. Three Hebrew boys said, we will not bow down. Our God will deliver us. They're facing a furnace, feeling the heat, knowing that the king is going to do exactly what he said to them. We will not bow down, our God will deliver. In the face of the pressure cooker, the early church said, give us more boldness. They told us not to preach. We want even more boldness to speak your word. But we want something additional, God. We want to be able to stretch forth our hands and let signs and wonders be done in the name of Jesus. In the pressure cooker. Because they weren't letting anything take the place of God in them. They had it settled. They knew what master they were going to serve. And they weren't concerned with anything else. Paul was in a pressure cooker. He said, I choose to believe God. That's what he said. I choose to believe God. I believe God, and I believe it's going to be exactly how he says. I don't care what it looks like. So what if we get shipwrecked? Nobody's going to lose their life. And what happened? Serpent came to cause him to say, oh my God, I'm dead. The people like, because he should have been. And I say he should have been? Yes. According to whose plan? According to what set of laws? We need to understand, this is something I share with the folks out in Pennsylvania. We need to understand what it means to be a new creature in Christ Jesus. We need to understand that. And once we understand it, we'll have an easier time dealing with things. Jesus also told us in John 16, he said, I've told you these things. Verse 33, I'm in the Amplified. I'm moving fast because I'm already over time. I've told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world, you have tribulations and trials and distresses and frustration. But be of good cheer. Take courage. Be confident, certain, undaunted, for I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of its power to harm you. See, I don't understand that. When Daniel was thrown into the lion's den, God took away the power of the lions over Daniel. The lions had power over everything else except Daniel. So how do you know that? Well, the Bible says that the king ordered up all his accusers and his family and their families and threw them into the lion's den. And the lions devoured them before they even hit the ground. So the lions never lost their power. Their power was just made null and void concerning Daniel. Daniel. And we need to understand it's the same with us. Jesus said, I've given you power. Physical and mental strength and ability over all the power of the enemy. He said in Genesis 1:26, I'm making you in my own image and after my likeness, and I've given you power over everything that creeps. Everything that creeps, you have dominion over it. Everything that creeps across this earth. So why are we letting creeping things creep in? And we have authority over them. See, me, I'm being serious. When a little creepy thing tries to come in, a little creepy crawler or something, comes into the garage, first thing I do is get something to try and coax it into leaving. I give it a chance. I talk to it, I said, in Jesus' name, you want life? Leave. Okay. If it doesn't leave, but you're not coming in here. Period. Period. I took a tennis racket and put cardboard in it, you know, to cover the holes, because this fly came in the house. And so I'm walking in, I have the tennis racket, and this fly comes. Dead fly. I opened the window. You can leave. But you ain't staying here. Why? Because when those things come in, they multiply. And if you don't do anything about it, they overrun. That's how the word gets choked out. They outnumber and force out. And I've decided I'm not letting anything outnumber the word. Nothing. So look, folks, when the pressure comes, and it will, you have to decide what you're going to say and what you're going to do. Are you going to be confident knowing my God shall supply my every, just like you took care of me over here, God, you're going to take care of me in this thing right here. So I'm not going to fret about it. I'm not going to fret. You go with what you know concerning the word, and whether you think you know a lot of word or a little word, it's enough if you would just say it and believe what you're saying. All I knew was a song. I have assurance that you'll take care of me. The only so I was too new. I was about 3-4 months old at most. And I find myself unemployed because I received Jesus Christ and was no longer one of the good old boys. Didn't hang out anymore. So they moved me to a lateral position, and after a couple of weeks phased out the position, gave me my birthday off and called me at home on my birthday and said, "Oh, we phased you out. Happy birthday." And now I'm unemployed, wanting to get married. I'm unemployed. I knew you'll take care of me, and I knew you promised me. And I'd be on my knees, tears streaming down my face, singing out, "You promised me, that's why I never fret." Wipe my eye. "You promised me, and you never failed me yet." I'd be banging the floor. "You can't go back on your word." What? That's all I knew, folks. But that was enough because I chose to use it. See, we need an elephant gun. You got a 22. You got a slingshot. You got a rock. Whatever it is that you have, use it. It will work for you because it's coming from your heart and you believe it. It doesn't matter if other folks don't understand. Do you understand? They'll understand eventually when they see you working the word and getting the results. That's how you survive the pressure cooker. That's what you do when creeping things come. I gotta tell you this. All right, I'll do this in less than 6 minutes. Because there's another part of a pressure cooker that I have to let you know. I have to let you know. Forgive me, I'm trying to keep these things down to 45 minutes. I got to let you know this. In 1 Peter, I'm going to pick up in the middle just for time's sake. 1 Peter 1, I'm in the Amplified Bible. And I'm in starting with verse 5, says, "Who are being protected and shielded by the power of God through your faith and salvation that is ready to be revealed for you in the last time. In this you rejoice greatly, even though now for a little while it's necessary that you have been distressed by various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, which is much more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested and purified by fire, may be found to result in your praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." So see, there's another reason to go through this pressure and this trial. And you know, because pressure will take carbon and turn it into a diamond. We need to understand that. See, diamonds are formed somewhere between 64 and 118 miles below the Earth's mantle, where there's a lot of pressure and there is a lot of heat. But it endures, and it becomes one of the hardest substances known to man. A diamond. Very few things can tarnish a diamond. Very few. But it takes pressure and heat. It takes a pressure cooker to create that diamond. So God will allow things to come because he wants us to find out, I can do this. He wants all of you, young folks, look at me. He wants all of you to know you can live this life. You can remain pure. You can remain chaste. You can remain obedient to your parents. You can remain all of those things, even though you're going to have to go through stuff. You can do it, but you got to want to. You have to want to. How many of you want to? That's not enough. How many of you want to? When the pressure comes, it's like that tube of toothpaste. I have a tube in my office. I forgot to bring it in. That toothpaste doesn't become of any good use to you until pressure is applied to that tube. When pressure is applied to the tube, the toothpaste comes out. And you can do something with that. And I noticed something. A little bit of pressure, a little bit comes out. A lot of pressure, a lot comes out. Continuous pressure, it streams out. It should be no different with us. When the pressure comes, instead of allowing the word to be choked out, let it jump out. And let that creeping thing know it's got no home here. Period. I'm a believer. I am the church. I'm founded on the revelation that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I believe every word Jesus said. So that means, devil, your gates will not prevail against my faith.
Amen.
Because I'm the church. Would you stand to your feet, please? It's time that we let who we are come gushing out of us, regardless of any circumstance, any mess. I don't care what it is. So I'm going to ask, you know whether or not you've been giving in to pressures. You know if you've allowed the pressure cooker to tenderize you and you've fallen away from your faith. You know that, but you want to correct it right now. I need you to come down here quickly. Just come down here quickly.